This is the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Godzilla versus the Sea Monster. And this movie was titled...
What's it called? Ebira?
What? Yeah, Ebira. It was called Godzilla, Ebira, Mothra, Great Battle in the South Seas.
Ooh, that's good.
And this was never released in theaters in America. It went straight to TV.
Yeah, I really have had really high hopes for this one in my quest to find my favorite, because the images of the lobster and Godzilla fighting in the water is some of my earliest Godzilla memories that I can, that and King Kong vs. Godzilla are like, that's basically that's where my love of Godzilla came from, is seeing these two things. Because like every time I see that image, it kind of brings me back to this like feeling. And I go, okay, this is definitely one of my formidable Godzillas.
Uh-huh. And then?
Yeah, I'm still looking.
Once again, I'm still looking. They go to an island.
I know.
And I was waiting for it. I'm like, nah, it's not going to happen. And it happens.
This one.
It wasn't as bad.
I didn't get as much in an aversion to this one as the other one. But first, I want to say, first of all. This one I watched on DVD that I got through Netflix. And before it starts, there's a trailer, and the trailer is for an Anaconda movie.
Okay.
This one is for Anaconda, Curse of the Blood Orchid. And I was like sitting and thinking, at some point, Anaconda is technically a big monster that we might have to hit the Anaconda boots up in this podcast. Although, when recently we were talking via text and like sharing pictures and other things that we found, there's so many kaiju to get through before we even decide to even crack an Anaconda movie.
Yeah.
There was another thing about this is on the DVD, I had options to watch it in Japanese or watch it in English. I had problems with the subtitles because they would just stop showing up for some reason. Like I tried watching in Japanese and then the subtitles would stop. And I'm like, man, these guys are talking a lot for me not to know what they're saying.
Uh-huh.
And I'd go, and it was like the menu was weird or something, that the subtitles would just stop showing up. So then I went back and I just ended up watching it dubbed. Mm-hmm. But before I ended up doing that, I had to say that when the I don't know what we want to call her, the Oracle Woman.
Okay. Yeah, the first scene.
Yeah. When she's, looking into the other side, looking for is it the woman's brother?
I think so.
Her
son that... her son, I think.
Oh, it's her son. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. I keep trying to push for the brother system. But her efforts are much more pronounced in Japanese.
Oh.
Like it's to kind of like look into the land of the dead is a lot harder work in Japanese than it is in English, because it's a lot more noise. It's been a lot more noise.
Okay.
How great is it that 60s dancing was the same everywhere?
Yeah, and there's a couple of things about this dancing. It's a weird way to kind of thrust your characters into a story.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a dance competition.
Yeah.
It's been going on for 3 days, and it's essentially last man standing gets a sailboat.
Yeah.
And our main character, or one of our main characters decides, hey, I want a sailboat. Can I join in this dancing?
Right.
And then one of the dancers who has already failed said, no, it's too late. Let's get out of here and go find a boat.
Right. Not only that, this is also part of going from trying to watch in Japanese to then switching over to English.
Uh-huh.
The voice they chose for the wackier of the two dancing guys.
Uh-huh. The guy in the brown shirt.
Yeah. I thought it was a yellow shirt. The wacky one.
Uh-huh.
You know which one the wacky one is.
Yeah.
There's one is the serious one. The other one's the wacky one. Is so over the top compared to everyone else talking that it was like so obvious. Because like you don't really suggest that this guy's going to be the wacky one quite yet, because you get why he's exhausted. It's not like a big deal. But because his voice is like that, you go, oh, we're going to be seeing some things from this guy.
This whole thing seemed wacky.
He sounded like a parrot.
Yeah, yeah. This movie follows Monster Zero, which was aliens and very sci-fi. This one has more mystical elements to it, but this is almost like they're trying to make a comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's definite like goofy moments like all around.
A lot of it's laughable.
Yeah, but they end up at these docks because they're going to go look at sailboats. And when they get in one, there's a dude in there, but he's a thief.
Right.
And he's planning on either stealing the boat or something. Anyway, they all sleep in the boat and wake up to find that the dude who's looking for his brother has set sail.
Yeah, but just even before that, they break into a boat and get caught by a guy in the boat. And at that moment, we still think he's the owner of this boat.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, well, let's get some sleep. And it basically invites them, these two people who broke into his boat, to sleep on his boat.
Yeah.
Yes, the radio looks like an oven.
I didn't notice. This sounded like every time they played music, it sounded like the 1966 Batman theme.
That's a good point. And Ryota talking with his mouth full sounds perfectly clear.
This movie's weird.
Okay, so it gets better when the monsters show up.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the first attack of Ebida was really great and really well done.
Oh, where you just see like the claws?
Yeah, I think the way they cut from the dolls in the boat, the fake boat, versus the real guys on, like, the boat set part.
Uh-huh.
I think those were edited really well together.
Yeah. It looks like they actually built a full-scale boat.
Yeah, to rock them around in.
But, like, there was one point where the boat, like, wait, you're talking about the regular boat? The sailboat or the spaceship boat?
No, the sailboat.
Oh, the sailboat. Oh, okay.
Just the guys in the sailboat when the boat got destroyed.
They did something in this that we wanted in Monster Zero when the guys were going down the elevator and it's clearly little model people.
Yeah.
And they didn't move.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of
extraneous movements.
Yeah, from the model people.
Oh.
Like the rowboat later, but then like,
oh yeah.
Like when they're, anytime there's like a boat with a monster and there's like people in it, they put the arm wiggles in.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I really, really enjoyed. I think it was when Ebra attacked the two islanders trying to escape.
That was a good attack too. There's a great shot in that attack, which it's like it's through the claws.
Uh-huh.
Like you see like the claw in the foreground and through the opening in the claws, you see the canoe. And that's right when he stabs down and the next thing you know, he's got it in his hand.
Yeah. I like Ebra.
Ebra's a great, great monster.
Yeah. I mean, it just looks like a crawfish, but I think I really like the way they utilize him. I do like that first attack where you just see the claws come out of the water so you don't know what it is.
Right.
It's like that kind of like slow reveal.
Yeah, it's very like, like the Kraken or like something. Yeah, you know, Sea Monsters is just a great, you know, all-time type of legendary monster for like boats. So I just think it works really well.
Yeah. So when they got to the island, when did you start getting concerned
about islanders?
Mm-hmm. Because I think there's a point where they're climbing the rocks and they find they find a sword,
right?
And the first thing he says is, oh no, it's cannibals,
right?
So for me, the mindset's already, oh no, there's natives. And they're already not the first thing they think of is it's cannibals.
I don't know, I didn't do that. But that is, you're right. I should have. I thought, because I didn't feel like if the bit was going to be native cannibals, I was like, that is not that type of a sword.
Yeah, it was like a scimitar or something.
Yeah, like I had a problem that was what they attributed to cannibals. I thought cannibals was just that wacky guy going over the top and suggesting things that aren't going to happen.
Uh-huh.
For me, it was when in the long shot where you see them from far away getting out of the boat.
Yeah, they're like slaves.
And clearly. I was like, oh no.
And then, but once again, I'm like, oh, they're just kind of tan. But then you start noticing the dudes with the Afro wigs.
I didn't notice Afro wigs. I thought they all had straight hair.
Some of the dudes had Afro wigs.
Oh, boy.
Now I'm wondering how many more of these are we going to have to go through.
It's good that we spaced them out.
But it is funny that this was also in your running as a favorite that you thought was going to be your favorite. So I wonder what your taste when you were a kid may have been questionable.
Yeah, I was a very racist child.
These racist ones are great.
But I really just don't remember people in any of the old ones. I just remember monsters fighting. I do remember the guy hanging from the indestructible wire or string. Uh-huh. That was I can't remember a full movie of anything as my childhood. It's just certain images. The guy hanging off the balcony, obviously King Kong, Godzilla fighting, and then Godzilla fighting the sea monster. So the ship squirting all this yellow stuff, it's getting all over the ship. The ship's completely clean when it comes into port.
Did they say at one time, release the yellow liquid?
They call it the yellow liquid all over the place. Let me tell you something. Everybody, mustard is the thing that everybody hates the most.
Oh, it's not mustard. Like, later on, they're talking about the fruit and that they're making this yellow liquid out of.
Yeah.
And one shot, it just looks like a bunch of lemons.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, does Ebra hate lemons because that's what we put on shellfish? Like, is it a mix?
Or if it was butter, if they're just melting butter.
Yeah. It's butter and lemon.
Because Ebra is already red. Yeah. He's pre-cooked.
And Godzilla's first attack is to boil him with his fire breath.
Oh, I just realized. I actually did make a note that says, did you get nervous when the native people showed up?
I did. My first note on that was island concerns, because I was definitely having island. I wrote that down as soon as they showed up, and I'm like, oh no, here we go.
Do you think they sat there and went like, what can we do to zhuzh up this eye patch?
It was hard to figure out what was going on with it.
Yeah.
Is it a dragon?
Yeah, I think it's a dragon.
And they can, which, okay, if I'm making this movie, or if I'm doing the American version of this movie, and...
You're remaking it?
No, I'm doing the dub. I'm the guy in charge of doing the dub.
Yeah, okay.
And there's this gang, and the leader of the gang has this red dragon on his eye patch. I would not call them the red bamboo. I would call them the red dragon, because I think that would make more sense.
Good point.
I think it took me a while to understand when they were saying the red bamboo that they're talking about a group of people.
Yeah. Oh, you thought there was like a red bamboo plant?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe to counter the yellow liquid. But
I'm going to refer to it as mustard in this, just so you know, even though it's not technically mustard. But not only that, because that yellow liquid, when they're going through the factory area, or not when they're actually making the yellow liquid, but just the part that's like all the pipes, there are pipes that are distinctly red and pipes that are distinctly yellow. Like, it's a big giant
condiment plant.
Yeah. I was like, oh, those are the ketchup and mustard tubes. I was, like, when they finally grabbed the wacky guy and took him away, I was kind of glad, because I was like, oh, maybe we'll get a break from him for a little while. And they threw him in the mustard plant factory that all the people are making the yellow liquid.
And he kind of became like the, what was that, Ocean's 13? Where they, like, he's like the idiot guys create this revolution in Mexico. And in this movie, it's like the idiot guy comes up with a plan for the slaves to revolt.
Right.
By creating a fake yellow liquid.
Right. That doesn't have, that's not, they're not as potent.
I really like that.
The so Red Bamboo has got like the Bond villain henchman army, and they're really haphazard with the shooting.
Yeah,
they just walk around as they search for people. They just shoot haphazardly.
They shoot it. There's like they know apparently that the good guys are in a cave, and so they walk around the island just firing into caves. Willy-nilly, like every single cave is getting, you know, a magazine of bullets in it without any kind of checkup. Like, they just fire into it and then move on.
Yeah, right. There's no correlation between Astro Zombie ended with Godzilla and where Godzilla ended up.
Yeah.
He's just suddenly buried in this cave.
He looked like he was sleeping. Well, he was sleeping, but did he go there just to sleep? Like, oh, this looks like a good spot.
So you think he just laid down there?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of felt like
he was, it was caved in.
In a way, I thought he was buried there. Like, only parts of him were visible.
Oh yeah, huh? I guess that's right.
I think he had to kind of like bust out to get up. I wonder.
Either way, I enjoyed watching him sleep. Like, I thought that was kind of funny. I don't know if we've seen that too much, but when he sleeps, he's usually like sitting down or something.
Yeah, he sits down a lot in this one. he does this like squat sit and like, oh, he's tired again.
Yeah. I mean, he can't just like stand there, right?
This is the one where like the electricity started in the claws and then went to the, like, when they're waking him up with By the way, there's some really bad dialogue in this movie, and one that I wrote down was when the guy gets the idea to wake Godzilla up, and the guy basically says what twice in a row, but it's just like, I don't know why. He says, let's wake up Godzilla, and the guy goes, what's that? What'd you say? Let's wake him up. And he goes, eh? It's like, how many times does he have to say it? And was she wearing that wire necklace?
She got the wire from the facility. They were walking through the facility and they grabbed the smoke bombs.
Right.
And then she grabbed the wire and put it around her neck. And the dude says, that's enough shopping for now. Let's keep moving. So she got that wire from there.
Oh, she just got it for herself because it was shiny.
It was shiny and it was round shaped like a necklace. And she's a girl. So did you think, I kept thinking about the girl. I'm like, oh, she's like the leader of the Islanders. How come she doesn't have a bigger bra?
That's a performance bra. This is her everyday wear.
Mothra is male. And I'm wondering if that's a translation thing or if it's
was Mothra a he in
Mothra or Godzilla versus the Thing? I don't remember, but I feel like I've always known as Mothra as a female.
I think we assume it's female because there's eggs involved, and someone's got to lay those eggs, so we assume it's Mothra. Yeah.
And there's no eggs in this one.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to revisit some, like, Mothra and Godzilla versus Mothra.
Yeah. Okay. So, Godzilla fighting the sea monster.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of rock stuff at the start.
There's, like,
a ping pong match where Godzilla kicks a rock, uh-huh, and Nebula hits it back, and he catches it and throws it again, uh-huh, and Nebula knocks it away. Then later, they do it with headbutting the rocks.
This is my favorite part.
And this time, Godzilla knocks it away.
But when he knocks it away, it just happens to hit a single tower out in the middle of the jungle. Which made me laugh. Like, I know that the red bamboo are bad guys, but it's gotta suck that you're the guy working in that tower. And you're like, really? It just happened to hit right here?
So the rock thing isn't working, so Godzilla decides he's gonna jump in the water and get in close. And Ebita's first reaction is to just try to splash him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which is kind of a jerk move, like if you're in a swimming pool. It made me laugh. I liked it. I really liked it.
It was funny. And then I said, he hits him with the atomic breath. There's a part in the fight where his hand gets caught in the claw. The claw grabs him and he's holding onto him by his hand. And then he flips him.
Yes.
It drags him down to the water. This one ends with the sea monster running away. But that was a pretty great first fight.
Yeah, I mentioned it before, but Godzilla, like, shoots his fire breath and it, like, boils the water around him.
Yeah.
I like that. That proves that Godzilla's brain isn't, you know, completely tiny.
I was trying to figure out what they do in this island base, because there's so many weird things being carried back and forth by the people.
It's weird because it seems like there's just a lot of making of the yellow stuff.
Yeah.
The yellow liquid, and it's like, it almost feels like that's their sole purpose.
But they're carrying these big chunks of things, like these guys have these like big half circle things, or when they're walking around with those mirror things. And it's like, what are they doing in here?
Yeah, I don't know.
It almost is like, we gotta find stuff for people to do, make it look like we're busy doing stuff.
Yeah.
There's a part where Godzilla was definitely giving off a strong King Kong vibe with the native girl.
Yeah, I thought that was weird.
It was like, wait a minute.
I haven't seen that before, where Godzilla sees a beautiful girl and
he's a little mesmerized.
Yeah, it's definitely a King Kong thing. There's one point where Godzilla's fighting. I don't remember which point it was, but he like throws his arms up and his head goes up. And you could see a hole in the neck of the suit that I swear is, you could just see the actor's nose sticking out.
Really?
Yeah.
This was a really hard suit, I think, for the actor. Well, first of all, the way the head was, it made it look like Godzilla was constantly kind of looking upwards. So when they have to like make it look like Godzilla's looking down or looking even straight ahead, it felt like he had to compensate by bending over even further to make it look like the mask part was actually looking at something. But yeah, the same thing. The thing was weird because it almost gave him, sometimes he looked bored when he was destroying stuff. Uh-huh. Almost like he's like rolling his eyes, like going, oh, geez. Oh, destroy, destroy.
There's one point where he's fighting and then he, like when he's done, he like starts itching his nose. Did you notice that part? Like, it's like, psh, psh. And then he like sat down. I don't get it.
Yes, yeah. It's so weird when he sits down. Yeah. And how stupid is the... Oh, yeah. I wrote a typo. You're right. Somehow it says rugs his nose and sits down again. rugs isn't the word rubs. I think he was rubbing his nose. Yeah. How stupid is that bird?
Okay, I want to talk about that bird.
Okay, first of all, he's clearly outmatched.
It's the stupidest bird. It's the stupidest creature on the planet.
He's like when I was younger, once at SeaWorld, a seagull came and tried to steal my sister's hamburger.
Uh-huh.
He's like that. He's like ballsy seagulls, which like you run into at like, you know, you get those a lot in Southern California, those people.
It just shows up, though. It's like, hey, what's going on over here? Oh, yeah. I'm going to attack this thing.
And but like, that is the inherent monster issue, that monsters hate other monsters automatically. As soon as you see another monster, it's like, I got to attack that guy.
And then Godzilla just lights it up, and it goes flying into the ocean, or he flies over mountains? I don't know, but it looks like it's a marionette on wires.
Yeah.
And then at one point, they cut one of the wires, and then the second wire. Because it kind of does this crazy, like, flop in midair.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
And then it drops.
Wow.
But, like, it was, like, pointless. Like, I don't get it, why it was in there.
Yeah.
It just shows up out of nowhere, and I'm like, oh, is Rodan in this movie? And it's definitely not Rodan.
No, he's too small.
It's got feathers. And it's just like, oh, we found this in the corner of the prop room. Let's just put this guy in the movie.
Hey, I made this. All right. We'll put him in before the fire planes get here. And then the fire planes show up, and then the 60s dance music starts.
That's what I put Jazzy Jets as my note.
This is...
As soon as this jet show up, the jazz music starts playing. And it might even start playing, like, on a shot where it's a pilot in a cockpit. As if, like, that's what he's listening to.
Oh, I never thought it was that. Because it felt like Godzilla could hear it, too. Because he was dance fighting.
That baffled me, too. Because these jets show up out of nowhere. They don't really attack Godzilla. They just kind of fly around his face. And just kind of wait to get killed by Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
And Godzilla just, like, grabs him out of the air. And then we'll, like, bite them out of the air.
Right.
Which I liked, but why do those jets decide, hey, let's go attack Godzilla right now.
Let's go taunt him.
Yeah, without, like, firing at him. Let's go fly around Godzilla's face and hands. That was a weird segment of the movie.
Yeah. That was weird.
They had the props, I guess, and they were just like...
But I also kind of... Because, like, It felt so much like he was dancing that I almost felt like maybe it was, like, people really liked that dancing celebration thing that he did.
Oh, in the first one, and so they, like, had to, like...
They're like, listen, people like it when Godzilla dances, when he does the jig dance. Yeah. People like him when he dances. So we got to find a dance number in here. Like, can't we just have them dance on TV? No, we need Godzilla dancing. Oh. Okay. We'll figure it out.
Do you think it was a dance craze? Do the Godzilla? where you like swat your arms and then bite your...
And then you shove a tree in someone's mouth?
There's a line of dialogue that cracked me up.
There's so many.
There's a point where, first of all, oh, Jesus Christ, this movie. The dude's looking for his brother,
mm-hmm.
and he ends up on a balloon, and he gets dropped into the middle of a ceremonial dance for Mothra, which cracked me up.
Yes.
But there's one point where someone says he's crazy.
He says, is your brother crazy?
And he says, he's always been crazy. Crazy to help people in trouble, which I thought was funny.
I wrote the exact thing down. Is your brother crazy? He is. He's always been crazy to help people in trouble. There's a lot of bad dialogue. Another bad dialogue is when they're looking for food on the island, and it says, coconuts. And he goes, hey, you sound like a monkey. Let's go eat. And then after they finish eating, they're like, well, now I feel like a monkey.
Yeah, because he's eating banana and coconuts. Maybe I feel like almost they didn't have someone to translate the Japanese. So they watched the movie, and then they're like, okay, this is what we're doing.
Well, what I started also doing was I discovered when I was successful turning on, I would sometimes watch it in English because it would run like with subtitles on, because it would be English with the subtitles of the Japanese.
Uh-huh.
So you could see discrepancies if there was any. Nothing really noticeable, nothing really worth mentioning. But I was like, oh, that's not a bad method, because it's not like I could understand what the Japanese was anyways. So to kind of run it along with the Japanese, whatever their the subtitles for the Japanese are under the English was like a useful little tool.
They're still a little different.
Yeah, but the most of them are just subtle. Most of them are just like almost like the actors said a line differently in the recording. But I mean, yeah, it's not that much. Or they just did slight rewrites to make it flow better in they were overdubbing the English stuff. So when Godzilla fights Sea Monster yet again, he rips the cloth.
Yeah.
And then snaps it a couple times.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part of the whole thing.
Yeah, I like that.
Just like, clack, clack, just kind of like rub it in.
And we mentioned this on the last show, like, it doesn't happen that much. Dismemberment. Yeah, it's
twice now, so maybe it does.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll know.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't, but this was a great one. And just the extra move of being like, aha, look what I got. So basically, this monster just runs away. Does he die? Because he's gonna die.
No, he loses both his claws.
Yeah.
And then just kind of swims away like a Mothra larva.
But he's gonna die.
Yeah.
How could he needs? Doesn't he need his claws to hunt whales? What, I don't know.
I don't know.
For ships, he needs it to destroy ships.
Does he eat giant plankton that are like people sized?
It wouldn't be plankton anymore. What do you mean, like there's extra large plankton in this universe?
Mm-hmm.
I just imagined he would just go and claw whales like the way, you know, giants.
Oh, like regular whales.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
did he eat those two islanders?
You know, you never saw him eat anybody.
But he definitely speared them and like grabbed them specifically.
He definitely hates boats. Yeah. Yeah. But I was like going, oh, he's just destined to starve to death now.
Maybe he eats islanders.
Unless something just happens to crawl into his mouth. And then suddenly, yeah, and then so this is obviously this is during the Godzilla's good phase.
Yeah.
And they start yelling at him, like, to run away!
Run into the sea!
Yeah.
That's what it says. Get away! Get into the sea!
Oh, yeah, and this is the part. Oh, yeah, they make that big cage to get carried away by Mothra.
Oh, there's a couple of things that I enjoyed. One was that they made a fake bush to sneak up on the facility of the red bamboo.
Uh-huh.
But it's like they made it so fast, like you didn't see them constructing it. They just had it.
Yeah.
And then the same thing with this basket.
Yeah.
This basket just kind of shows up, and I kind of want to be in that basket.
Yeah. And this is where they animate Mothra in the big flaps where she flies away like an eagle. Oh, He does.
It looks like the seagull from the beginning of Clash of the Titans, where it's like where it's like a silhouette.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like it's really weird.
Almost like it's painted on the cell, on the frame.
I liked it. I liked this movie a lot. I thought it was goofy, but there is.
It's really goofy, but it is some of my favorite fights.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and then Ebra shows up. I think in a couple more, and I don't know if it's just reused footage.
Oh.
I think Godzilla's Revenge is one of them, which is the one where the kid goes to Monster Island in his dreams, which I really like that movie. And then I think Destroy All Monsters, where they have like 11 monsters in it, and I think Ebra is one of them. He has claws.
So they grow back.
So they probably grow back. I think Ebra will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, if they grow back, then it's like great because he can do so much. He can just drop them like a gecko tail.
You could feed nations that way.
Oh, yeah, he's just selfish. Oh wow!
Did you there?
That one looks good. No, I didn't. I didn't say shellfish. Is that what you heard?
No, I thought that's what you meant though. It was a play on words.
Yeah, I didn't catch it till you pointed it out. All monsters attack.
The Godzilla, the Mothra, King Ghidorah, giant monsters all out attack.
This one's all monsters attack from 69.
Okay, I think that's destroy.
This has got Ebida in it. It's got Godzilla. It looks like there's a spider in it. There's something with it. There's a shelled monster.
Let me take a look. I'll be able to tell you which one.
There's a lot. Minia.
Okay. So, yeah, All Monsters Attack. This was renamed in America as Godzilla's Revenge.
Oh, that one's Revenge. Oh, okay, gotcha.
And so this might have, Kamakaris is in it, or Manda, whatever the big, I know Kamakaris is in it. And then I think Kamakaris is a mantis, and Manda is a tarantula.
Yeah.
And then Gorosaur is in it. And then there's a monster made just for this movie called Gabara. And Gabara is the one punching Minya on the poster.
Oh yeah. Okay. And he's got the chest plates.
Yeah. But then in the movie, he's got like a tuft of red hair.
Yes.
Okay. So that's Godzilla's Revenge in America.
Okay, cool.
Which I would like to watch that. That's one of my favorite ones. It's completely, it's a kid's movie and it's silly, but I think it's very entertaining.
Cool.
I don't know. What do you think you want to, because we didn't discuss this before. Usually we know what we're going to do next.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean.
Okay, so since this is we watched an old one this time around, I really want to watch Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah. Giant monsters all out attack. I think that would be fun. And then maybe the following episode we can do Godzilla's Revenge.
Oh, that's a newer one. The all out attack is a newer one.
Yeah, that's the one where it's got he's got a new design that they only use for that movie. And okay. He looks super. It's the one you said you had a toy of with the white eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, next week or next episode we'll do Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, giant monsters all out attack from 2001.
Cool.
And then you have anything else for Godzilla versus the Sea Monster? It didn't make your, it's not your favorite.
It
could be in the running maybe. How's your favorite fight?
Am I going to find one that doesn't have something that annoys me?
Maybe.
So far,
Rodan is the one. This is the top one, I think, for both of us.
So
right now.
Far, it is, and it's the guy. It's the wacky guy. The parrot voiced guy really gets hard. It was too hard for me.
And the Islanders.
Yes, thank you. Yes, and the Islanders. And
just so you know, from here on out, as far as a podcast goes, we're not going to be cool with the Islanders if they're tanned up and wearing Afro wigs.
No. Yeah. It's hard to watch things, and sometimes old stuff disappoints you.
Yeah. They weren't as bad. They weren't as bad in this one as King Kong versus Godzilla, but it's still.
It's like when you watch old cartoons.
See, now the thing is, we still haven't watched Mothra, and we haven't watched Godzilla versus Mothra.
There's still a lot of 60s Godzillas to get.
And there are Islanders in those. I know it.
Oi. You just got to space them out.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's all I got for this one. All
right. So you can go to kaijupod.com, and that'll take you to all of our episodes and at kaijupod for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So until next time, I'm going to return to the sea without my arms.
I'm going to fly in a cage back to Infant Island. I'm going to fly in a cage back to Infant Island.
Releasing the yellow liquid.
I'm going to muster the waters.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
Oh, come on. Grow up. It's not like that could be code for something.
Just go muster the waters.
Man, I went and mustered the waters that time. Oh, man. We really just do this podcast for us.
Yeah. We'll find out soon enough.